From St. Mary's University of Minnesota, you're listening to St. Mary's Currents. I'm your host, Ben Rogers. In May of 2020, when remote work was at its highest due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that 35% of American workers were working remotely. While the term has been used frequently during the pandemic, some see remote work as, quote, the new normal. Today, we welcome Amy Jauman, Program Director of the Masters in Human Resource Management Program at St. Mary's University, to discuss how the shift to remote work during the COVID-19 pandemic has altered our perceptions of the traditional workspace. Amy, thank you so much for being the first guest on the podcast. First, could you just introduce yourself to the listeners, letting them know what you do here at St. Mary's University and what your academic interests are?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks, Ben, and thanks for having me. My name is Amy Jauman, and I am the program director for the Masters in Human Resource Management, and I'm also the program director for our HR Graduate Certificate and our International Human Resource Management Graduate Certificate. That's our new certificate that's launching in the fall of 22. So my background is actually in organization development. So that's what my doctorate's in. And then my HR focus professionally has been in training and development, as well as, of course, change management, everything that comes with OD. And then my HR certifications, I'm SHRM SCP certified, and then I have a GPHR certification as well, which is the global HR cert. So I don't know if that encompasses all of my interests or not, but that's kind of the background and what I do here at St. Mary's.
Well, thanks again for coming on. We really appreciate it. And we're excited about today's topic, remote work in the pandemic and what the future of work might look like after the pandemic. So first question, as the pandemic continues, it seems like we're kind of in a time of fluctuation. Some employers are having their employees return to in-office work while others continue to work from home. In August, we saw coverage from local media outlets that said many Twin Cities-based employers were pushing back dates to have their employees return to the office. Some of the big ones were Target, Wells Fargo, and U.S. Bank. As an expert in the field of human resources, what are some of the trends you're seeing right now as kind of these conversations continue?
Yeah, I think exactly what you described is a pretty common theme that we're seeing. Employers that are being smart enough to press pause and recognize that when they had to on a dime, their employees were able to work remotely, still get their work done, still be productive. So what in the middle of 2020 may have felt like, we have to rush to get back to work, we're never going to make it, that kind of lifted. And when suddenly all these employers took a step back and realized, hey, maybe we can play it a little safe, we can think, we can pay attention to how our employees are feeling about their own anxiety, about their own health, even about opportunities they discovered associated with remote working. And instead of feeling pressured to come back to a traditional workspace by a certain date, like we had to leave the workspace at a certain date because of the pandemic, a lot of them are just realizing we can stop and think a little bit more about this. We can survey our community, we can get their opinions, we can test different approaches, bring people back in smaller groups. That's really what we're seeing a lot of.
So I seem to see quite a few kind of conflicting headlines regarding remote work. An example being something like remote work reduces productivity or vice versa. If you don't mind, I'd like to do a little bit of a pro-con conversation. First, as someone who works in the field of human resources, what do you see as the benefits of remote work for both employees and employers?
So I have a little bit of a bias in favor of remote work. I feel like I should be honest about that. I did remote work consulting before remote work was cool, and helped people who were acquiring satellite offices or even individuals who were transitioning to a hybrid role or remote role, kind of identify what they needed to be successful in their new environment. So I am much more experienced in helping people be successful in that remote environment. So I tend to more easily list the benefits. So I would first off start with the employees themselves. We find that when people can establish a healthy remote work environment, they can just more quickly identify a really good work-life balance. And they can figure out, and it's such an overused term, so Maybe I shouldn't lead with that, but it really is what most people talk about. The idea that they don't have to figure out that commute, or the idea that they can pop out of the office for half an hour to pick their kids up or drop their kids off from school. It just has opened up so many opportunities that without even us really realizing it, has given employees a fuller, richer life outside of work, which makes them more productive and even just happier with their day-to-day job. For the employers, there are probably the biggest benefits listed are typically financial. So if they look at things like not having to have office space or, and again, this varies depending on the industry, but what companies realized when they sent people home and though their people could work from home, they all of a sudden didn't need entire office buildings or, you know, all of these resources that they had previously been paying for. So when times were lean and they needed to save some money, being able to not have that kind of office space and all of the costs associated with that were huge. And then there's also the impact on the environment in general. So if we think about decreasing the movement of people, I mean, just think about whenever you're listening to this, think about traffic and think about what traffic was like in January of 2020. And think about what it's been like even recently when so many of us are back on the roads and things like that. We had just previously had so many people who thought they had to be out and about at the same times. It was causing congestion and just too much. And even that has lightened up, hopefully to stay, because then that, of course, trickles down to improve how people are feeling every day. If they don't have an hour commute, it's instead 25 minutes. They get home sooner. They're not as stressed out. It pays off in so many different areas.
So, you know, the next question, of course, is what are the downsides of remote work? Again, both for employees and employers.
Yeah, there are none. No, I'm kidding. So, downside for employees is typically going to be around communication and the risk of missing opportunity. So when we flip the switch and so many people went remote immediately, right, without kind of that thoughtful planning, what we didn't really have time to prepare for was all of the things that happen in the work environment that we don't necessarily realize. So we talk about things like crash spaces, where you're walking around the office building and you see a team leader, and because you're suddenly in their line of vision, they remember, oh, that person has that area of expertise. I can put them on this team. Or they see things like how committed you are in a meeting or in a conversation. And because they have that visual of who you are and what you're doing, it allows them to better understand you and remember the contributions you're making in the organization, which, of course, leads to advancement opportunities and things along those lines. So without that, it isn't that people who work remotely can't have those same opportunities. It's just different. It looks different. It has to be managed in a slightly different way. And then from an organizational standpoint, managing company culture, I think, is probably the biggest challenge that we're seeing. So when people aren't coming together and participating in events and having those conversations and kind of developing that in-person camaraderie, company culture becomes a little bit harder to support or even identify just because we're physically separated. But it's that same thing. Doesn't mean it can't be done. It just has to be done differently. And an organization has to decide if they're willing to do that, to invest in that time and the effort.
Okay. So kind of thinking about those downsides, I mean, do you feel like a hybrid model might solve some of these issues?
It seems like it would, right?
Yeah.
Maybe take the best of both worlds. The challenge with the hybrid model is if you have some people in one workspace and some people in another, making sure that you have even opportunities and that people, so typically it's going to be the people in the remote space that have fewer opportunities for advancement and recognition and things along those lines. But you never know, could go the other way. But typically it's if you kind of split that way, that's what happens. But the hybrid model does have a lot of opportunity. And in fact, I was just connecting with a group who asked me to write about some hybrid leadership tips. So when you are in that role where you're leading an organization and you have people in different spaces, it really starts with you. It begins with how you set up a meeting. It begins with the expectations that you set. There was one organization that shall remain nameless that sent out an informal communication to its leaders that said, we're doing a hybrid model. That means sometimes you have to work remotely. And it was kind of a funny message because everybody said, well, we're doing this maximum flexibility thing for our employees. Why are we commanding our leaders to work remotely sometimes? Like, why aren't we being as flexible with them? But that company was smart. They realized that if they had a leader that came into the office every single day, 9 to 5, what was their team going to do? They weren't going to take advantage of that hybrid model. So it's recognizing that the employee really looks up to that leadership, and that leadership has a lot of control over making those hybrid models balanced and fair.
We'll be right back in a minute.
Separate yourself from the rest and take your career to the next level with an online degree from St. Mary's University of Minnesota. Nationally ranked and fully accredited, our programs are student-centered with faculty that infuse practical career experience into their teaching and engage in their disciplines. Set your own schedule with our flexible online platform and access your coursework anywhere with our selection of affordable online degree programs. Promising career opportunities will follow. Explore what's next at St. Mary's University of Minnesota.
So some people have expressed a concern that remote work will put some people at a disadvantage. Is this something that employers should be concerned about?
Yeah, that's a great question. And employers should be concerned about it. They should always be thinking about how changes in a work environment could negatively impact different groups of people, because it happens, and sometimes it happens without us realizing it. So a really big topic of discussion is whether or not women in the workforce are more likely to end up at a disadvantage when a remote work opportunity presents itself. And the working theory is more women are more likely to take the remote work option because they take on more responsibility in their household and family life. So if you think about that, we're all given the same amount of time. So if a large percentage of companies suddenly start having more remote work options, and we pull more women out of the workforce or in that traditional environment where those crash spaces and those opportunities kind of present themselves because people share physical space, the concern that is coming up, particularly with this consideration and with this group, is are we going to end up taking a huge step backwards? Because it's appealing, right? It's appealing to families. It's appealing to the workers. It looks positive, but when we look at the big picture, are we actually setting these women up for failures because they're not going to have that exposure that they would in that traditional environment?
All right. So the pandemic has changed many companies' approach to where their employees work, be it from home or in the office. What are some of the other aspects of the workplace that might change after the COVID-19 pandemic?
So I think some of the biggest changes that we are seeing in workplaces are around those informal gatherings, as well as continuing education offered through the organization. So it seems to be the big changes are coming around bringing people together. Everybody figured out how to do their job, right? We had to, right? We all kind of figured out how to make our own stuff work. But we're still struggling with how to maintain camaraderie, team building, all those types of things. And it's usually because, or at least right now, it's because people are so tired of being online. The idea of a virtual happy hour, a virtual training, one more reason to spend more hours staring at a computer screen for a lot of people is really unappealing. But also coming together for a lot of people is really unappealing. So we're kind of in this weird space of people figuring it out. But we have organizations that are creating amazing software programs that will increase engagement and, you know, organizations will be able to pick things like that up at more affordable pricing, and to just make the online engagements or even hybrid engagements closer to when we had those kind of more traditional gatherings in an office space. But it's those groups that are the challenge right now.
All right. So for any students who might be listening and, you know, maybe entering the workforce soon or changing their career paths, what might they consider when it comes to prioritizing remote work when applying for jobs?
So I think that students breaking into a new market, so especially if, so a lot of our graduate students have a lot of HR experience and they're looking to advance, maybe kind of in their own organization. I think what advancing their degree, even getting certifications and things like that, what that does is it gives them a little more bargaining power. So what I always encourage people to do is to step back and think about what's important to them. Is remote work an element that will be important to them in the future, and it will help them be a more productive employee because it will give them a happier, more balanced life? If it is, move it up on that list of requirements and be honest with yourself about how important it is. It's not going to be that important for everybody, but if it's that important for you, add it to the list, because more organizations are adding that to their kind of company culture and design. So the more opportunities are out there. So if it's important, don't give up on it. Leave it on your list. But the other piece too is making sure that people understand post-pandemic that it's okay to not want to work remotely. There's nothing wrong with, I used to joke, a friend of mine has two young kids at home. And I told him, I don't know that anyone was so excited to go back to a traditional work environment that he was, because he had, you know, such peace and quiet in his office. And when he was working at home, he'd have his kids cared for by someone else, but still, you know, kind of coming and going in the background. And if that's okay, you know, different people have those different environments. And I just always encourage all of our students, especially if they're making a transition after they complete either a graduate certificate or a full degree, if they're making that kind of advancement, use the opportunity to think about what they want their whole life to look like and how a new role and potentially a new organization could serve that more effectively.
Absolutely. So since this current topic kind of falls perfectly into what you teach, how, if at all, are you using this in your instruction?
So a lot of our courses, we actually provide discussion prompts, and the students bring in current information and materials. So for example, we might say, this week's discussion, we are going to talk about advancements in diversity, equity, and inclusion in a work environment. So the students are then charged with finding a current topic, bringing it to the class, and facilitating a discussion on it. So what ends up happening is it allows our students to, with the help of their 15 or 20 classmates, get a very high-level view of everything that's going on in the world, because everybody's bringing in a little bit of a different story and discussing it. And then, of course, our instructors who are working in the industry are able to guide those discussions and introduce things like, you know, historically, this is what's happened that's kind of contributed to today, or because of their connections, this is what they see kind of happening in the future, and to really facilitate and keep that conversation going.
All right. Amy Jamin, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
St. Mary's Currents is a production of the St. Mary's University of Minnesota Office of Marketing and Communication. It is produced by Ben Rogers and Deb Nergang. It is recorded, edited, and engineered by Jeffrey DeMarsh. Our theme music is written by Will Van de Kramer. I'm Ben Rogers. We'll see you next time for St. Mary's Currents.